Just tell us what you want, all right? I'm here to help you.
Help yourself, fucker!
Welcome, Macness Podcast, episode 86. This episode, I'm going to be covering Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. And along for the ride is the Blind Frankenstein, a.k.a. Big Jesse from the Big Guys Podcast. Yeah, we just put out an episode, so do check that out. Just talking about our favorite Halloween Halloween stuff, but... yeah, let's get into this and stick around, man, because I also have a special interview with an awesome guy. So let's get into this.
Someone is coming back to Elm Street. He is not friendly. He is not patient.
Kill for me!
And he is not a welcome visitor.
No! No! No!
But he has something terribly special for the new kid on the block.
It started to happen again.
Dad!
I'm in trouble. You've had some scary dreams, okay? Help!
Daddy can't help you now.
There's something inside him.
Fight him! You are not afraid of him. He doesn't even exist.
Freddy Krueger is back on Elm Street.
Get out of here, Lisa!
Jesse, fight him!
Watch out for him. He'll be in your neighborhood soon. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2.
You are all my children now.
Freddy's Revenge.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Like I said, Blind Frankenstein, a.k.a. Big Jesse, is back in the place to be. What's up, guy?
I don't know why that always makes me laugh, no matter how many times I hear it. Speaking of that, I'm really, like I said on my show, I'm really looking forward to doing the Halloween Stories episode of Big Guys.
Yep, that's coming like ASAP. Sometime this week we're going to put that one out. But before we even get into that, let's get into the movie we're going to talk about. This is a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge.
That's a great title.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was cool. That's what I loved about this one. I mean, it was just like shortly after the original one. So that was cool. Because it was like the next year. The first one came out in 84. This one came out.
I wondered. I didn't think it was that long afterwards. I mean, I was 2 when it came out. So it's not like I saw when it came out. But I always like to throw that in there.
Well, I was 13 when I saw this. I saw it the opening weekend. I didn't see it like the opening night. I ended up seeing it the next day on Saturday. But this is, like I said, it's a 1985 and American slasher film directed by Jack Sholder. This is the second installment to the Nightmare series. The screenplay was written by David Chaskin. And this one stars Mark Patton, Kim Myers, Robert Russler. That's Hook for you skateboarders.
I was gonna say, I know that name from, not that I'm a skateboarder, but I know that name from somewhere.
He was Hook from Thrashing, and he's done a ton of other things. Another horror movie that he had done, I loved him in, was it was a vampire movie with Grace Jones. Vamp. Have you seen that one?
Yes, that's what I think I saw him in.
Yeah, I liked him in that. And this also stars the great Robert Englund, and everybody knows who he is.
I've never heard of him.
This movie was actually the first time that they called him Freddy, because in Nightmare.
Oh, they didn't in the first one, did they?
No, they just called him Fred Krueger, because when Nancy got his hat, his name was written in it. And that was kind of weird in that one. Why would you write your name inside your hat? But I mean, I understand for little kids, but I guess they need it for the story.
So. Yeah, that is kind of weird and random, though.
But I never really thought about it when the title came across screen. It said Freddy's Revenge. Back then, 13 years old, I was just happy to see horror movies. And wasn't really thinking much of the title. I was like, Freddy? And I was like, okay, whatever. Just didn't think anything of it.
This is a stupid question, but were you a big fan of, like, did you see the original in theaters?
Yes. That was a one that my cousin and I went and seen. I just remember seeing the trailer for it, or the TV spot. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. And it was playing. So I don't think we saw it the weekend it opened. We did see it the weekend it opened. I remember we went on a Sunday, because I remember we tried to go Saturday at the theater that was playing right around the corner from my house, and shows were like, they weren't sold out, but they said there's only seats in the front, and I'm like, I don't want to sit in the front. So we ended up going Sunday to see it, and we just assumed that it was a big movie, because the showings that were going on Saturday were pretty full. And I was like, well, we'll just go to the first one Sunday morning. So we went and seen that. And it was just totally different from anything that I've seen up to this point.
It's amazing how, and we'll get back to the movie, obviously, but how different things are now. Like, we know about all the big releases and there's hype behind everything. And back then you didn't have the internet and every, like, 50,000 trailers and stuff like that. Like, it was a different world. I mean, not that I was, even in the 90s, it was a different world.
It was like the only time you can see trailers, like full trailers, was when you went to the movie theater.
Some of the times is my favorite part. Like, yeah. I've always loved trailers. I've always loved the time before the movie.
I get mad if I don't make it there in time for the trailers.
Yeah, me too. Because
whoever I go with, I'm like, hurry up, hurry up. I don't want to miss the trailers. I mean, even with my wife, I know she puts up a lot with me. But, I mean, she knows that. She knows. Plus, she gets ready pretty fast. She's not like my cousins that would take forever to get ready to go to
movies. you mentioned your cousin on, I forget, the last show or the one where we did Sleepaway Camp, how you were late to see something.
Yeah, they just sit there. And I mean, are they? We're gonna go sit in the dark, and you have to get all dolled up. I mean, I understand that there was young teenagers.
But there's the time before the dark, though.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're in the lobby.
I'm like, come on. Me, I didn't care. Like I said, I was 13 when I saw this, so I don't care how I look. I just show up to the movies and enjoy it. But we went and seen this one, part two, and I was just I remember seeing it with, I was either my cousin or my buddy. I can't remember, but we saw this, and he had never seen the first one. I remember that. And I just kind of explained what it was. And he was like, okay. I said, it's just this guy that comes in people's nightmares, and he's got, I said, knives on his hand.
That's what I always thought they were, too, when I was younger.
I said, it's like a glove that he made, and that's how it kills everyone. He's like, oh, cool. So this one's pretty good. This movie actually, movie takes place 5 years after the original one. The Walsh family, Jesse and his family, they move into the old Thompson house. And it's on Elm Street. I can't remember where. They were around your area, somewhere back east.
I don't remember either. I don't remember, like, in the first one either, if they ever said. They had to have said where it was, but
they did. I know they did, and I'm sure someone's screaming at us. But I just remember
the first thing that I remember about this movie, and always stuck in my head was I was very excited as a young child that a main character in a horror movie had my name. Because it's like, I mean, it wasn't like it was a unique name, but you didn't hear it as much. And I was like, this guy has my name and he's probably going to live.
Well, he did live.
Like, that was very important to young me for some reason.
Oh, man. I'm just trying to figure out where we're at. I mean, I know that the actual house of a Nightmare on Elm Street, the house that they used, I know they used it in the original movie, and they used it in part two. That's actually in Hollywood, California.
Is it still standing?
Yeah, it's still there. I took Mike there not too long ago when he just moved to L.A. So we were driving down the street, and I said, dude, look over here. And then he started looking. He's like, what? I said, you'll notice it when you see it. And then we drove by the house. He's like, whoa, that's a Nightmare on Elm Street house. I also did that with Kyle. We had just finished watching the first three movies, and we went to Hollywood. And Kyle was really surprised and shocked. He was happy. I got a picture of him standing out in the front. I try to be respectful to whoever lives in that house.
Yeah, does someone live there now?
Yes, people live there. Okay. I just told him, I said, just stand on the sidewalk. Don't go on their property. And I'm sure that they're used to people taking pictures in front of
I think
their
you
house.
Would have to be.
So I'm trying to figure out exactly where in America they are. I know it's back east somewhere.
Probably like Indiana or something.
Oh, man. Anyway, so, but yeah, I know it's back east because when it gets to Freddy versus Jason, I know they did like that 10-hour drive or whatever from Elm Street.
That's
all,
right.
All the way to Crystal Lake.
I remember.
But back to this movie, you know, we always get off on,
where's Crystal Lake supposed to be?
It's in New Jersey.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
I'm sure they just said Jersey.
Okay.
I don't remember they ever saying it in any of the movies, but
yeah, I thought that's where it was.
They just throughout history and everything. They just, okay. Yeah. This is all based in Jersey. There's horror movie maps and
yeah, I've seen those. I mean, obviously I didn't see them, but I know they're out there.
Yeah. So, but this is the story of the Walsh family. Like I said, they move into the Thompson house, 5 years after the first movie. And, we have Jesse's character, Mark Patton. And speaking of Mark Patton, I had an awesome interview I did with him over the weekend at Sinister Creature Con in Sacramento. And he was such an awesome guy. I told him how much I love this movie and when I saw it. And we had an awesome conversation, a little bit about some of his stuff on Broadway when he first got into acting. And then we go into... I start asking him questions about this movie, and he was so cool, and it was just I was just so happy to meet him, and I got some cool pictures with him. And I think my favorite picture that I got with Mark is he had an actual glove of the Freddy Krueger glove, and I can't remember who he says who made it during the interview. I can't remember, but it's cool. It's a picture of me. He's holding my neck up. And he's poking my fat neck. So with the glove, it was pretty awesome. I'll throw that up. I think I threw it up on Facebook. I'm not too sure. I put up a bunch of pictures from the convention. But hey, Mark, if you're listening, thank you so much. I just couldn't believe that I got to meet you. And well, before I go into the rest of the movie, I'm gonna play the interview right now. So yeah, you guys check this out. Hey guys, I'm down here. It's still day two, Sinister Creature Con, Sacramento, California. And the honor to have Jesse himself from Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, Mark Patton. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing out there?
Thank you so much for doing this. Just a couple questions. And so you started your acting career on Broadway. What is... do you think was the
the transformation into Hollywood than from being a Broadway actor?
Well, I was lucky because my first Broadway show was called Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, and it was directed by Robert Altman, who's a very famous film director. And the cast was myself, Cher, Karen Black, Kathy Bates' first movie, Sandy Dennis. So, and as soon as we finished the run on Broadway, 2 weeks later, we made the movie. So I made my Broadway debut and my film debut within the same year. And then that, of course, took me to Hollywood, and that's how I began the Hollywood track also.
What drew you to being Jesse in Nightmare 2?
Well, I had screen tested to play Glenn in the first Nightmare on Elm Street, the part that Johnny Depp played. And basically, you know, it was, I went on a job interview and they offered me the job. So that was how it goes. You know, that's how actors are. You take the work where you get it.
Did you know it was a Nightmare film before you took the role or read the script?
Oh, of course, sure. The title was, you know, okay. Self. And I knew Wes and I know Heather and all that kind of stuff. So I knew what I was getting into, yes. Yeah.
All right. When filming this movie, I'm sure there was a lot of different locations. The house that's actually in Hollywood, how much of it was shot there?
Well, actually, the house is on Genesee. It's the 1428 Genesee in Hollywood. And nobody ever shot inside of the house, none of the films. So our exteriors, we shot there for 3 days, I think, only, maybe four. And then the rest, my house was actually built on the Desilu soundstage where they shot I Love Lucy. So, and that was on Gower Street. And all the inside of the house is on a film set, on a studio. And then the exteriors are all over Los Angeles. Yeah.
That's cool. How was working with Robert Ressler and Kim Myers on the whole project?
Well, I've known Robert Ressler since he was 14. So it was like the bratty kid next door. But he was great. I love him. We're still very good friends. And, of course, I'm very good friends with Kim. And I just loved her the first moment I met her. So, you know, we've had a 35-year relationship now. So I have nothing bad to say about her.
That's awesome. When you were filming this, during all the violence and the blood and everything, when as an actor, when you're doing those type of roles, do you have to set yourself into the mood to do those type of things, or is it just acting and you just do what you're supposed to do?
Well, it's all a process, and different people do it different ways. You know what I mean? But I was trained for a long time to be an actor, so the trick with most people don't understand about movies is that you don't just do it once. You have to do it like 100 times. And you have to do it from different angles and behind your head. And everything has to match. So you have to do it pretty much the same. And that's where the craft of acting comes in, as opposed to, you know, you don't think about it, but every button has to match, every drop of blood. Each outfit, I might have 10 different versions of the same outfit, because everything has to match when you cut it together. So it's very technical, but if you love it and you know how to do it, then you learn. You know, you learn on the job. And, you know, for me, it's very natural. I was kind of born to do this. So I enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that answer. The very end of the film, when you're covered in burnt stuff, I mean, how long did that take, the process to get all that stuff on you? Because you seemed to fall off right during the movie.
Well, the trick is to get it to fall off at the right time. And, of course, I was covered in Vaseline. My mark was covered in Vaseline, my face and my body. And then that all was applied. And then they pour a chemical on you and it falls off. And it's kind of gross. I mean, it's like it gets in your eyes and, you know, your skin breaks out and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, again, that's what you do if you're making movies. Robert, in his Freddy makeup, everybody thinks that's a mask. It's not. It's like 100 different pieces that are glued onto his face. So it takes 6 hours to get into it and an equal amount of time to get out. And you've got cement on your face and they put chemicals and you break out in rashes and it really hurts and it's hot and you're sweating and it's pretty nasty, that kind of stuff. But again, if you like it, that's why you're there. You know, that's what I signed up for, so I'm okay with it.
Robert Englund, how was it the first time that you saw him in full Freddy makeup?
It was fine for me. I mean, it's like some people have different reactions. I knew Robert as a person, you know what I mean? I had the opportunity to see Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, so I knew what, you know, so it wasn't shocking to me. Robert talks a lot, so it was like, really, the thing is to get Robert to shut up. You know, just like, okay, like, because he's that type of guy. He'll talk your ear off. So, but it was fun. I was like, Nightmare on Elm Street to me is like a home movie. Now you guys watch it and it's one thing. For me, it's like when you're showing films of Christmas time with your mom. That's kind of how, you know, it's like, oh, he's a dork. He's, you know, whatever. But we were all good friends and we all got along very well. So it's nice.
With the glove, was that the actual glove that Robert wore as well, or was it just, did they make one just for you?
We had our own gloves, yeah, that were fitted to our hands, so that I think one other person for a millisecond wore a glove in one of the films, I'm not sure, but yeah, that's sort of, I had my own gloves, Robert had his own gloves on Nightmare on Elm Street too, and now they've spread out around the world. Some are in museums, some are in private collections. We had a lot of gloves. It wasn't just one. We had wooden ones, metal ones, plastic ones, all for different things.
Did you get to keep any of them?
You know, I do. I got to keep all of my props, actually, by contract, like all my clothes and everything. But honestly, I didn't think to keep a glove. You know, it's like it wasn't really, you know, like anything that I really wanted at the time. Now, I wish I would have, because I think mine sold for $250,000. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'd like to have it back. I'd sell it in a heartbeat. Wouldn't have any problem, you know. But I get really great gloves from Anders Ericsson, Nightmare Gloves. Mm-hmm. And they do screen-ready gloves for both Robert and I. And then you can buy those gloves online at his site and on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you go. And, yeah, I love them. So I have my gloves. And then my gloves are donated to charity, and they are sold off. And the proceeds go to the Trevor Project, which is an anti-bullying campaign.
That's good. When this movie came out, did you think it was going to be as big as the first one? How many years later, and people are still love you for what you've done in this film, as well as myself. I mean, I love this movie. I saw the opening weekend it came out. Wasn't too sure if it was going to be a direct sequel, which it was, and I just thought it was going to be maybe Heather coming back again. But then when you were the main character on the screen, I was like, okay, this is cool. And like, that's the first thing I've seen you in. I've seen you in other things after that, but this, with this movie, the impact of when it came out back then, how did you take it all in?
Well, I don't really think that anybody expected it to be as popular as it was or successful as it was. I mean, I think they would have they made half as much money, they would have been excited. But like, this Nightmare on Elm Street 2 broke all kinds of box office records. It was a big deal when it came out. And I, of course, you know, actor, overly hopeful, you know, I want everything to be a big success, and it was. So it was very satisfying. And that was on Halloween too. So it was Halloween weekend that this movie opened.
When you're doing conventions, I was so happy that you came here, and I was just, I have to meet Mark. I just have to. And I bought your book, read the first few pages of it, and I can't wait till I get home. Usually I do my reading when I'm laying in bed, and so hopefully I'll have something to read now tonight, and I'm so glad about that.
Oh, well, thanks. I love doing the conventions, and I like the people, or otherwise I just wouldn't do it. It's like, if you all go to conventions and you meet some dick, you know, some guy who's not, just walk on by his table, because you don't need to pick up that energy. Sid Haig always says, Captain Spaulding always say, like, if you don't want to be here, don't come. You know, don't take these people's money and be mean to them, you know? It's like being an actor, you know? So I always try to be, like, friendly and generous and have a good time, because it's like, this is a gift. I mean, for people to walk up to you and hand you money to sign your name, and then the people say, I love you, and if you can't be happy doing that, then get a new job, you know?
Exactly. I actually met Sid here in this building at another horror convention.
He's great, isn't he?
He's awesome. Last question. The infamous Jesse dance scene. Was that all... did they just turn the camera on and say go?
Yes, they did. And I always say to everybody, it's like, that dancing's become really famous. And some people made fun of it and this and that. But I want to tell you, that was good dancing in 1985. I was a good dancer. I'm a good dancer now. And yeah, I made the whole dance up myself. And I had really fun with it. And, you know, we were trying not to do like, the obvious thing to do was, you know, Top Gun had just come out. So anybody who had a dance scene in a movie, they were doing Tom Cruise. And I didn't want to do what Tom Cruise had done in Risky Business. You know what I mean? It's like, they want to slide across the floor, put some black sunglasses on and go. So I did a little stripper pole action, and I think it looks really good.
It was amazing. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time. And I'm so glad I got to meet you. And hopefully we can meet again at somewhere else.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you the next time.
All right.
Yeah, thanks again, Mark, man. I mean, that was so awesome, dude. I just couldn't believe it, man. That was the highlight of the convention for me. And thanks again. Oh, I also bought a book. There was a video I was watching the other day on YouTube. He was doing an interview with someone else at another convention, and he had mentioned this book that he wrote. I think it was called The Lost Journals of Jesse. Hold on, I have it right here. Sorry, everybody. I should have had this all out already, but I had just got home, and I just pretty much went right to sleep and didn't get situated. But his book is called Jesse's Lost Journals. It's a cool book that he wrote, and it's his journals from a character from the movie. So. That's pretty awesome.
That's interesting.
I read a few pages. I didn't read it all. It's not that long of a book. So I'll definitely get my headphones back on. Hope you didn't say anything because I didn't have my headphones on. So
no, all I said is that book sounds like it would be interesting.
Yeah. As soon as I finish reading, I'll come on here and let you guys know all about it. So it was really cool, like I said, that I got to meet him. And I'm glad I picked up this book. And he was talking about it in that interview that I saw. So I was like, oh, man, I'd like to know more about the Jesse character. So it's pretty cool. Kim Myers was also, like parked up right next to him. Kim Myers is Lisa, his girlfriend in the movie. She's beautiful. I mean, I always thought she was beautiful when I first saw her in this movie, and then I'd seen her in other things throughout. Another memorable thing of hers, I remember she was on Seinfeld. But she was right there. She was really cool. I didn't say too much to her. Not during the interview. She was gone already. But hi, and I think you're beautiful and all that. But she was a real nice gal. But, yeah, so when we get into the movie, Jesse, we just get like a nightmare scene. Like he's just... Yeah, it's the classic scene on the bus, which was awesome. And what I loved about this part in the movie is we see Robert Englund not in the Freddy Krueger makeup. He's just how Robert Englund looks. And in the interview we just heard, Mark says that Robert was just an amazing guy, and he's known him. I didn't know him before this, but it's really cool. It's a really cool scene. He's just dressed up as the bus driver. He doesn't have a hat or anything, but. Jesse's on the bus, and it's really got that. And that's what I liked about these movies. When you got into the nightmare type of stuff, the scenery would change. Like the lighting would get like a little bit darker and kind of a bluish, color. So you can distinguish between the regular normal stuff. And then when you get into the nightmare world, so he was on the bus, and then all of a sudden the bus just starts hauling ass down the road. And then it was him and a couple other girls on the bus. And then we realize that it goes mashing through. They're like bombing down the street in their neighborhood. Then they go crashing into the desert and just doing all these little bump jumps all over the place. Man, whoever did the stunt driving was an amazing stunt driver, driving a big giant yellow school bus through this dirt and just. I wonder if it like flipped over during the shooting. But we go back into the inside of the bus, and we see that Freddy Krueger is driving the bus, and he's shifting gears, which I thought was awesome, with his hand, the hand that has a glove on it. And he goes driving, and then they kind of stop, and you hear Freddy laughing, and then it was like an earthquake, and then all the stuff starts to crumble below them. And then it's a cool practical effect shot, which I loved in the first few movies. I don't think there was ever any CGI in any of these. If there was, it might have been in the very last one. But pretty much it was all practical effects.
Yeah, I don't think there was any. I'm trying to, because they were all early. I mean, there may have been early CGI, but I never remember hearing about it.
If there was, it
now,
was.
I'm sure like Freddy versus Jason had it, but I don't.
Oh, yeah. But I think it was maybe in the last movie or so in the series. But and this one was all practical. So it was a model of a bus balancing on the dirt that there are the, I don't know, cliffs or whatever. But the whole ground basically sunk in except for the stuff that was under the bus. So we get Freddy getting up and dragging his claws on top of the on the ceiling of the bus. And that's the sound that I never liked out of hearing it the first time in the movie, in the first movie, hear it in this one, and then hearing it throughout all the other movies of when he's just scraping.
Yeah, everybody says it's like nails on a chalkboard. That never got to me, but for some reason, this sound always did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a sound that when you hear it,
you know what it is.
I mean, yeah, even like if you were at home and someone just accidentally raked their hands across something metal against metal.
Yep.
That's the first thing, and for you horror fans, that's the first thing that pops to your head is Freddy Krueger. But we get he's getting closer to them, and then Jesse just lets out this huge scream, and then he wakes up, and he's just drenched in sweat, and then he's in his home, and then we meet his family, we meet his girlfriend, and at this point in the movie, he just doesn't really know. He just figures it's a nightmare. But as these nightmares, just reoccurring nightmares that happen over and over throughout the movie, which was spooky. I mean, I don't like nightmares, period, even when I get them. But his nightmares, and as well as Nancy's in the first one, were just horrifying. Especially,
I've been lucky to never have a recurring nightmare. I mean, like, I've had dreams before that I've had a couple times, but never like once I have like a horrible nightmare, knock on wood, it's usually one and done.
Recurring nightmares, I remember having them when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But my older age, I mean, everyone has nightmares, but I don't think I've ever had recurring ones. I mean, it's right now, it's when I have, if I do have a nightmare, I think the last one that I remember is always just fighting some kind of dark spirit.
Yep, I've been there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it looks like. It's just like I'm fighting it. I'm like, I'm jumping up and I'm going after it and wrestling it. And you know that I watch we watch wrestling. So wrestling.
So you and I are in the same boat. We both don't know what we're fighting, what it looks like.
Yeah. So Jesse's just having these constant nightmares. Even that's what with these movies, it was like the characters would have them when they went to sleep, and then they were scared to go to sleep, and they would fight to stay awake, and then they would all have them, like they'd be so tired that they would just
pass out and have one.
Yeah, they would have them at wherever they were, like Nancy, yeah. and Jesse, they both had nightmares at school. So I mean these movies, I mean, especially with the first few, to me, I thought the first two were the really serious ones, and then after that, Dream Warriors was the beginning of the slapstickiness. And
but Dream Warriors is awesome though.
Oh yeah, it's an amazing film.
It's like the good. It's like the melding between the two, kind of.
Yeah, after that, I mean, I did enjoy all of them, but I just didn't enjoy them as much as the first three, but. But yeah, like I said, these first two were really serious. There was no really one-liners or anything. Well, there was kind of, if there was, I know in this one, the line when Freddy goes up to Jesse and goes, you got the body and I got the brain. And Freddy Krueger pulls back his, he rips his skin off the top of his head and to reveal his brain. And awesome practical effects in this with Freddy and all the gore in this and just the there's a scene where when Jesse transforms into Freddy. I mean, well before I get into that, Jesse's just having this nightmare about this guy he really doesn't really know who he is, But there's a scene where they find Jesse and Kim Myers, the actress, Lisa Weber. She finds a diary of Nancy's from the first one, and she's explaining this person that's coming to her at night, which is Freddy Krueger. And then this is when Jesse realized that's who he keeps seeing in his dreams. So, and then we find out later that during one of Jesse's nightmares that Freddy needs Jesse, because he's like, but kill for me. And Jesse just fighting it. He thinks it's all nightmares, but he's slowly realizing that it's just, it's coming down on him, and it's all becoming a reality. And he knows that Freddy's inside of him. He's trying to, he's not really, didn't go around and start telling everybody this was going on, but he slowly opened up to Lisa, and he also opened up to Robert Russell's character, Ron. Grady is what they called him in the movie. So there's a scene where Jesse's just slowly flipping out. I mean, that's what I liked about his dreams. When Jesse would wake up, he would scream super loud. Like, it was like in the very beginning, before he woke up out of that nightmare. You see his parents downstairs just getting ready for breakfast and everything. Then upstairs you hear this, this loud screeching scream. And I remember the first time we saw that. I saw this a few times in a theater. I remember the first time I was just, whoa. And then we were just laughing. And the second time that Jesse let out a scream when he had one of his nightmares, everyone was scared for what was going on the screen. But every time that Jesse would scream, everyone would laugh and everything.
Yeah, there's something funny about that.
It's still funny. It was funny back then, and it's funny now. But I know it was the seriousness back in the day, or in this movie. But I mean, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people remember of this movie is Jesse's scream. I want to say, I meant to ask him this because I remember I was watching that that documentary, that like 10-hour documentary,
Never Sleep Again.
Yeah, and he said he was a scream queen. I thought that was funny, but I did like that. But the practical effects they use when I'm jumping all over the place in this movie because I'm assuming everyone had seen this already. But the scene where Jesse he leaves Kim's party because she was having, I think it was a birthday party, and he just wasn't feeling it. And he's like, you know what, I think I need to leave. And this is a scene where we get Jesse and Lisa beginning to just kind of make out and everything. But Jesse knows that Freddy's inside of him, but he's not really too sure yet. But while they're messing around in the cabana, Jesse's this big, huge, long lizard type of tongue comes out of his mouth and licks Lisa, and he gets freaked out and just hauls ass out of there. And Lisa is all worried about it. Jesse runs over to Grady's house and is telling him, like, look, there's something wrong with me. Just keep an eye on me while I'm sleeping. Basically what Nancy did with Johnny Depp's character in the first one. Just watch me. If anything looks bad, wake me up. So Jesse kind of passes out, and Grady's watching, looking at him, and then he ends up like, I'm going to bed. So he goes to sleep, but then Jesse wakes up, and he starts to feel the transformation inside of him of just like, oh my God, it's happening. And then he's like, what? And then all of a sudden he sits up and he falls on the ground and all this, and leans up against the wall. I always love this practical effect is when Jesse like screams, when he opens his mouth, you can totally see that it's something that the special effects guy made. But when he opens his mouth, you see an eyeball or somebody's eye opens inside of his mouth. So that was pretty sweet. And then we get the whole, you see Freddy's face start to come out of Jesse's stomach. And then Freddy just like claws his way out and comes crawling outside of Jesse. And he's standing there. And it was cool. And what I loved about this Freddy Krueger is, He didn't have the glove. The actual blades came out of his fingertips. So it was just Freddy's all burnt up hand, but the razors were sticking out of his fingers, and that was the termination between when Jesse was Freddy and when the actual Freddy Krueger was out that we all know with the glove. So you can tell that like that, because Jesse when he'd have these nightmares when people started getting killed, it was him. But we would see the Freddy Krueger that would come out of Jesse, but when Jesse would snap out of it, he would be his normal self standing there, but he would have the Freddy glove on, because earlier in the film, like I said, I'm jumping all over the place in this movie. Freddy was the one that tell him, goes, "I want you to kill for me," and he basically gave him the glove, or showed him, or Jesse found out where it was. It was in the furnace of the house. So, but Jesse didn't want nothing to do with it. Freddy was just slowly getting inside of him, and then I thought this scene was cool. Grady's flipping out, and he's Freddy's got him up against the wall, and Grady's pounding on the door to screaming for his dad, and his parents come, and they're like, open the door, and all of a sudden you see the claws just come, or the razor just smash through the door, and then the blood comes down, and then they just slowly cut the door, and I'm like, man, he must have just jammed his hand all the way through Grady, and so the razor could stick through the door.
Yeah, he would have had to.
And how strong are you to just rake through wood? I know it's a movie, but just when you think of actually trying to do that, there'd be no way. You could probably jam those razors through the door.
Right, but it wouldn't go through. I don't think
you'd be able to cut down. But anyway, I mean, it's a movie, and it's all movie magic. But I thought it was an awesome kill. And bouncing backwards to the asshole gym teacher that was always giving Jesse shit. When he kills him, I mean, it's the same thing. Jesse's having nightmares, and he wakes up and leaves his house and walks down to this bar. It's kind of like a S&M bondage bar type of thing. And this is where their coach likes to hang out. Grady mentions it earlier in the film. So he ends up just going there, and then the coach sees Jesse. And I'm not telling this in order. I'm jumping all over the place, I said. But these are just scenes that I loved. This is a scene that made me laugh, because when you're outside of school and you run into a teacher or anything, I mean, you're like, you don't have to listen to them.
But, no.
But for some reason, the coach takes Jesse and takes him out of the bar and takes him back to the school. And makes him run laps. If my gym teacher caught me somewhere outside now, okay, you're in trouble. Come on, I'd be like, forget you.
Right, you're off school grounds. You don't have to do shit.
Yeah, I'm like, who are you? Get out of here. But it's a movie, and it leads up to the death of.
I mean, there's probably some people out there that would still listen to their teachers, like, you know, but not us.
No, yeah, not me. I mean, especially if the teacher is mean to you anyway. I mean.
Right.
We're not in school, so I don't have to listen to you at all. But anyway, it's funny. I love the scene because it also made me laugh. We get back to the school, and Jesse's running laps inside the gym, or the basketball court. And
yeah, that's my favorite scene, I think.
I assume, like, this must have been on a weekend, and I don't know if the coach has the keys to the gym. I know I'm just nitpicking.
He probably does, though, actually.
I'm nitpicking at the reality of the stuff. But this scene was cool because he tells Jesse, all right, hit the shower. So you see Jesse in there taking a shower. And the coach is just sitting in his office. And all of a sudden, he starts hearing noises. And he turns around and sees that the tennis rackets on the wall, the strings start popping. And then all of a sudden the balls start flying at him, like the basketballs and all that and what have you. And then the tennis ball canisters open up, and then the tennis balls are shooting at him, and he's trying to slowly get out of the way. And then a jump rope, like, wraps around, I think it was his hands, and then drags the coach into. You can't see it. We all know it's Freddy, but we can't see it. He goes, into the it pulls him into the shower, and Jesse sees all this and like, what the hell's going on? And then this part really made me laugh. Even I watched this the other day, but when I first saw this, the coach is butt naked leaning up against the wall and this towel is whipping him in the butt. And I mean, I'll give it to the actor. It was Marshall Bell. He was Coach Schneider. He must have really took some ass whippings with that towel, because you can just see the red marks on his butt.
So, he took the whipping for his art.
We've all done that. I mean, we've done that in gym class. We're just whipping each other with the towels. And when you get hit with that tip of the towel, it doesn't feel good. And it does leave marks. I accidentally hit my friend in the face once. It was accident. We were all whipping each other in the locker room, laughing around. But he like bent over because he had dropped his towel. And by then I was already in full whip and whoosh, got him in the face. He went,
I bet that hurt.
We didn't talk for a couple of days, but hey, it was accident. We were all having fun, but hey, accidents happen. So he's getting whipped.
Did you notice though that accidents happens always the phrase said by the person that did it?
Yeah. The coach is there screaming, and then all of a sudden, Jesse turns. He transforms into Freddy, which I thought was cool because it was just the steam from the shower, and then Jesse kind of falls back and then leans forward, and then he comes out of the steam as Freddy, and then slices up the coach. But then after the coach is dead, Jesse kind of comes to, and he's standing there, and he's like, he sees the coach dead, and he looks, and he's got the glove on his hand, and he lets out another scream, and he realized that he's the one that's killing everybody. So I mean, I liked all that with the kills throughout the movie.
Yeah, the kills are great. I mean, the kills, and I always, no matter what the movie's like, I've always enjoyed the kills in Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Yeah, so I mean, I liked it. I mean, especially during the party scene, the pool party scene
at Lisa's
house. How it happened. I want to say it happened after Grady, because when all that was going on, Freddy just came back and he was. Oh no! Wait. After Jesse kills Grady, or Freddy kills JD, Jesse goes back to Lisa's house, and he's like, I killed Grady, and I'm sure I killed the coach, and she's like, no, it's all. And then all of a sudden Jesse's like, oh my god, it's happening again. And he like falls behind the couch, and then when he gets back up, he's Freddy Krueger. And this is the whole awesome kill scenes of the pool party massacre. This had some awesome scenes when Freddy goes crashing through the window or the glass doors to get away from Lisa. And it was cool. He goes crashing through the window or through the doors, and then he disappears. But then all the kids at the party are looking around like, where the hell is he? And then all of a sudden, Freddy comes jumping out of this wood flooring, jumps down, and he just starts slicing everybody. Everyone's trying to run away from the party, but Freddy's force is keeping them all in the party. Somebody tries to run to the door or the gate, but the gate gets like super hot, and they get shocked and he falls off, and things start blowing up. I know hot dogs and everything and beer cans started busting open. People are trying to run away, and Freddy's just slicing and slashing everybody. And it's cool. You know, like whoever the actor is already has the cuts and everything and blood on their face, because you don't see the front of them until actually Freddy slashes them, and then they spin around and you see that they're all messed up. Awesome practical effects. Whoever did the special effects in this movie did an amazing job. So this part always made me laugh. There's one guy like, hey bro, I'm here to help you. Let's just take it easy. What can we do with you? And this is probably my favorite line in the whole movie. Freddy goes, help yourself, fucker, and then just stabs him. Yeah, like I said, this is probably the beginning of the one-liners for Freddy, but it was awesome. I just loved that line, and then he stabs him, and we get the classic line of Freddy when he's it's an awesome scene. It's there's flames right behind Freddy because things start burning on, like catching on fire. He has his hands out. He goes, "You're all my, like all my kids now, or all my people now." I can't remember the actual line, but
that is classic, though.
I loved that. Oh no, he's like, "You're all my children now."
That's what it is.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And then he just ends up leaving them, and then he just goes. Which I thought this little special effects, it's like a cutaway scene where he walks and just goes into the bushes, and then all of a sudden this big flame just, and then he disappears. So Lisa finally realizes that Jesse was telling the truth, and she knows that Jesse is trapped inside of Freddy now. So she ends up going off to the boiler room because they had all this earlier in the film. They realize this is that they hear about the boiler room, and Jesse and Lisa go there, and they say, "Oh, this is where Fred Krueger used to work, and this is where they killed him." So she ends up going back there, and this effect, it looks cheesy now, but it looked awesome in 85. But when she gets to the boiler room, she sees there's these two watchdogs in front, and you can clearly see that they have masks on, but they're supposed to look like human faces. And I'm sure I thought it was awesome in 85, but watching this 2017, it just made me laugh. But hey, that's the awesomeness of the 80s filming. So we get to the final showdown of with Lisa and Freddy, and she knows Jesse's in there. She's telling him, "I love you, Jesse. I love you." And Freddy's like, "No, no." And then he realized that I guess their love is what conquers Freddy in this. And I'll give it to Kim Myers, the actress, but I'll give it to Lisa when she just realized that the only thing she can do to help Jesse is to just the love embrace. So she ends up kissing Freddy, and I remember people in the crowd going, "Oh my god!" And some girl like, "Oh my god, I would never kiss that motherfucker!" Like super loud.
But, well, you would if your boyfriend was trapped inside and was gonna die, I think.
I've said this before. I grew up in the hood, and it was a hood theater, so just the movie patrons screaming out loud at the movie screen. That's what you don't get nowadays. You don't get that when I go to the movies anymore. But
no, you get people like, seems like a lot talking before the trailers and everything. But I mean, I know people say about people on their phones and stuff, but it's pretty quiet, I think.
Yeah,
like, as movies play, no one. The only time I had that, and I told this story before, was when I went to see Sinister, and we just had tons of people yelling. For some reason, tons of senior citizens went to see that movie, and I do not know why. But there was an old lady, like in her 70s, in front of us that kept screaming. She finally walked out halfway through, and I was just like, "What did you think you were going to see?"
But just the people in there screaming at the screen when stuff was going on, and this was going throughout the movie. But I remember that was, "I wouldn't kiss that nasty motherfucker." Like some lady screaming that. Not like screaming it, but like kind of saying it loud enough. She might have been sitting a few rows back, but and then we realize that Freddy just kind of falls down, and then all these flames pop up, and then Freddy gets caught on fire, which I thought was a cool special effects. I know you can clearly see the gel, the flammable gel that they stick on the handrails, because when they start to light up, you can clearly see it, but in this movie, it's just supposed to be automatically just things light up. But hey, there was no CGI back then, there, kids. So you had to make do with what you. But it looks awesome. In 85, I didn't notice all that. 2017, I noticed all the little special effects. But I can appreciate those because the special effects guy it's a hard job. Speaking of special effects, like with latex, with the appearance of Freddy, I noticed that it changes each movie. And I know it can't be this exact same facial design of his burns and everything, because it'd just be impossible. But I saw some good special effects people at the convention. There was, I want to say there was two different tables where there was two different special effects group putting the latex stuff on people. I stood there and watched them. I should have took video. I don't know why I didn't. But, I mean, that looks like an amazing job. And whoever these two people were at the convention doing it did an awesome job. And everybody in this film, Nightmare 2, did an amazing job with the effects of Jesse when they had him, when Freddy came tearing at him. The looks of Freddy, which were awesome. But I still laugh at the little dogs with the masks on. But in this one, after this, when Freddy catches on fire, he just basically just burns to a crisp. And this is the scene where Lisa thinks that Jesse's dead, but then all of a sudden you hear movement. You see movement, and Jesse comes out of the burnt, charred body of Freddy. And oh my God, I'm glad you're alive. And we get the good ending of them, two lovers coming together, which I thought was cool. And I always like seeing that, especially in these horror movies, after we saw all this murder and mayhem.
I have complained about this for years, and a lot of people disagree with me, but I feel like everybody's like, oh, I wish the endings were darker. In some cases, maybe, but I feel like you've survived this hell of a movie, of a story. Like, you deserve the ending, unless there's going to be like a sequel or something, the ending to be happy. Like, there should be a little bit of sunshine in the hell that you just experienced.
Yes. I mean, with this one, I never really thought there was going to be much of sequels past the first one. But I mean, if you guys remember the first one, Freddy is still alive because his hand comes crashing through the front door and pulls
the mother
through the window. And this one, I was expecting it, but I wasn't too sure what, because the next day Jesse wakes up and he's all happy, and he just had probably the best night of sleep he's had in years. And or in months, don't really know the timeline of how long all this happened, but he's like, oh yeah, he gets on the bus and he sees Lisa and her friend. I can't remember the friend's name, Cheryl, I believe. Carrie, I think that was her name. They're on the bus. Oh man, it's all this. We're all happy and we're all alive and all this. And then all of a sudden the bus starts going super fast. And Jesse likes, driver, slow down. Or he's kind of like, oh, man, is it me or is this bus driving really fast? And Jesse gets goes back to that dream that he had in the very beginning of the movie. But then the bus driver does slow down and picks up the next student that gets on the bus. And the friend that's sitting behind Lisa and Jesse, she's like, hey, it was all just a bad dream. It's all over with. And this scene, I loved it. It made me laugh when I first saw it, and it just made me laugh the other day when I watched this. But we get the awesome scene of Freddy's hand come tearing through the friend, Lisa's friend that was sitting behind him. And then you just hear this loud, huge Freddy laugh. And then you see the bus mobbing through the desert, and that's the end of your movie. But that effect, I mean, it looks cheesy now, but back then it looked awesome. And I still think it looks awesome, but I always have to laugh when I see it, because it made me jump the first time I saw it. But then but every time you jump, scream or whatever, when you're in the theater, you're scared and you jump. But then there's always laughter afterwards. I always love that.
Unless it's like a continuous.
Yeah, because I remember like everybody screaming when that happened. And then if we realize the movie's over, then everybody starts laughing.
Right.
And it was awesome. I love that. And the effect, yeah, it looks cheesy now, but back then it was amazing. And it's still shout out to all the special effects people with all the practical effects of these movies. But that was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. And I love this movie. This is a great movie.
I don't think it gets enough love.
No, I don't think so either. I think this is one of those ones I can throw in and watch and enjoy it for what it is. I mean, I love it. I loved it when I first saw it. And how you guys do the math, how many years later, 2017, and 30, I still love it.
32, I think.
I'll say, okay, we're coming up on the anniversary in a few weeks. This was released November 1st, 1985. It had a $3 million budget, and it raked in from U.S. and Canada $29.9 million.
Which back then...
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean,
yeah,
they spend hundreds of millions just to make one movie.
A budget, yeah, right.
So, but this was awesome. New Line, they were putting it out. The characters were based off of Wes Craven, and the producer, heck's that guy's name? Robert Shea. I think he produced pretty much all of them.
He was like one of the heads of New Line, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's actually in this movie during the little S&M bar scene. He's the bartender. And I never realized that I guess I just didn't know who Robert Shea was, but right. Watching that documentary, Never Sleep Again, Robert Shea, they interview him and he said, yeah, I'm in this movie. And then they show the scene, and watching it now, I was like, whoa, I didn't even know that after how many years, whenever that documentary came out. But that's something you guys, if you guys haven't seen it, it was streaming on Netflix, but now it's not.
Was it the full one, though, or was it Netflix, or was it the edited, like, two-hour one?
No, it was the full one. It was really long. I remember that. I do want to pick it up now. I think
it's on Shudder if you guys have it.
All right. Well, it's not on Netflix anymore, and I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I want to pick up the Blu-ray of this because I have the Crystal Lake Memories one. And
I still need to finish that one.
I'm a fan of the whole Nightmare series. Yeah, some of them got little cheesy, but it's just, they're just funny. My favorite are the first three, and I love this one. I mean, I love the original one, but I love this one more. More than the first one. It was a different take of Freddy, but I do like it was a. Basically a direct sequel from the first one, and it was cool because they do mention Heather,
Nancy.
They do mention her in this one as well as that, so it's cool. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, I don't think it's streaming on anything.
They're usually around. They usually show, some channel will show them around this time of year.
Yeah, they pop up every now and then.
And I'm sure the box set's really cheap.
Yeah. Maybe. So, you guys check it out. It's out there, or go pick up the Blu-ray box set. I saw it at Best Buy. I think it was like $20 or something like that. It wasn't too expensive for all the movies. I know there's a double pack of Freddy's Revenge and Dream Warriors on one Blu-ray. I know I've seen that because Mike has it. But I'm probably just going to get the whole box set and just to be the completest that I am, just have the whole series in my library, because I have all the Halloween. I have all the Friday the 13th ones. And
I wonder if that Halloween one has come down in price.
No. Well, it has, but it's changed. The box has changed. It's not the big, huge box set anymore. It's a shrunken down set. It's still got all the movies, and it's still like $80 or something like that. But it was like 100 and something when it first came out. As well as this Nightmare, the Nightmare box set. I remember it cost more when it first came out. Now it's, if it's not 20, it's within the 20, between the $20 and $30 range right now. I saw it at Best Buy, so. If you guys are interested, go pick it up. But as well as the rest of the films in this whole series, Freddy's Revenge is an amazing movie. I love it. And yeah, like you said earlier, man, this movie usually doesn't get a lot of love. But to me, it's always gotten my love since I first seen it.
Yeah, I've always liked it.
So you guys check it out. And again, Mark Patton, thank you so much for the interview. I just can't believe that I got to sit down and talk to you about a movie that I love. So everyone check it out, and we will be back with more October movies. So thank them so much already, but I can't believe it. Mark Patton, man, you're amazing, dude. Right on, dude. Thank you so much. And everybody, hey Jess, thanks for coming on and helping me out with this one. And Well, we'll be back later with more, as well as more stuff on Horrorcopia with jump scares and everything else we do. So, hey, everyone, take care. Live your dreams. Rock hard and skate fast.
I'm being your speech. My mind is locked in eternity out of my reach. Riches, anything gets great. Start to be.